This is Robert Stark. I'm joined here with Count Fosco. We're going to be discussing the TV series Californication. Count, great having you back on the show.
Great being back, Robert.
So this show came out about a decade ago, but I've been rewatching all the old reruns.
Yeah, I think it was like, what, 2000 or 2003?
2007 to about 2010.
2007, right. Yeah, it has like a pretty steady formula throughout the entire show. Mostly Hank keeps getting hired by people who are even more, sexually available than he is, and he seems to be very successful in sleeping with lots of people. It seems to be the general theme of the show, episode to episode.
Fornication is the key buzzword in that.
Yeah, I think like in the first season, he sleeps with the daughter of a guy who runs an online magazine, Helle.
Oh yeah, Mia, Madeline.
Mia. He also sleeps with the man who makes his very popular book into a Tom Cruise movie. He sleeps with his wife.
The wife
in revenge
yeah,
sex.
Yeah, because he makes a really crappy movie.
Right, like his book is supposed to be more nihilistic, and he turns the book into a very romantic piece.
So the original book was called, I think it was titled God Hates Us All, and the title of the movie is A Crazy Little Thing Called Love, which is just like your generic cheesy romantic comedy.
Yeah, so they turn it on its head, and in revenge he has to, of course, sleep with the producer's wife. I actually thought that woman was very attractive myself. Much more than Mia. But,
really?
I'd
have to say, out of all the Californication girls, I have to go with Mia.
You have to go with Mia. I guess she is the Lolita Express of Californication.
Well, she was like in her early 20s when she filmed this. But interestingly enough, she was in the new Twin Peaks as well.
Yeah, I still need to see that. I don't really know what she played. I can imagine her playing any of the girls in Twin Peaks.
Yeah, she was in the scene where there's a security guard who's guarding this weird box to the Black Lodge, and she plays his girlfriend, and then they're having sex, and then there's some kind of like sex magic that brings about this demon, and then the demon comes out of the box and kills them. So she makes a pretty, her role is fairly minor, but there is a lot of crossover between Twin Peaks and Californication, because David Duchovny plays the transgender DEA agent in Twin Peaks, and then Metchen Amick from Twin Peaks was on Californication. So there's a lot of crossover.
I can even imagine Charlie Wunkel approving the script.
Huh.
That is an interesting way to die, sex magic. There are a lot of different staples in Californication. You even have like the Great Ashby with his romance, and of course Mia trades up because she can't have Hank, so of course she has to sleep with Ashby.
It's kind of going back to Mia. It's interesting, the relationship. It's a kind of love-hate relationship, because on one hand, she basically sabotages his entire book, but she also has a crush on him, and she views him more. I don't think he really is that. After finding out the whole situation, he knows that if Karen and his daughter find out, they would be devastated, so he cuts it off. But he's kind of playful with her, he teases her, but he views her more as a kind of almost like a daughter figure.
And the funny thing is, they eventually find out anyway.
Yeah, but that's not until about, I think that's like the very end of season 3, the episode Mea Culpa, And then season four, there's actually a trial where he's being charged of statutory rape.
And of course, he sleeps with the lawyer, if I remember. I haven't rewatched season four yet.
No, neither
it's just
have I.
Like, it's just like he keeps getting almost charged, and then he finally gets charged. And of course, he still has this amazing sex life that really nobody has.
Yeah, it's not really that realistic unless you're like an A-list celebrity. But the show.
Yeah, and even then, it's not realistic. I mean, like with the whole recent sex scandal, I can just imagine someone like Charlie Runkle having to negotiate payouts to everyone Hank sleeps with, kind of in a Harvey Weinstein type way. Like I'd like to be a fly on the wall for the real Charlie Runkle in real life negotiating payouts for the Weinstein Corporation to all these people.
Yeah, I think this show is really timely with all the scandals going on right now.
Yeah, I mean it's not like a Seth MacFarlane joke, but you could easily read into.
Oh, there is a scene where one of the producers accused of sexual misconduct is Brett Ratner, and there's a scene where Hank Moody says to Runkle, "Yeah, and you're no Brett Ratner."
Exactly. I mean, like it's almost like there are inside jokes in Californication, even if it's not really meant that way. Somebody who wrote the show knows about Brett Ratner even way back in 2007.
And Runkle's always getting in trouble at work. He loses his job at a prestigious agency, but
yeah,
I think it's
what a way to lose it.
Yeah, he has his that affair with his assistant. Then there's those hilarious videos of him jerking off at work.
And what did he say to what's his name, Zuccolini? I got like 400,000 hits on RedTube.
Oh, Sue Cullini, that's one of the, that's what's her name,
played by Kathleen Turner, and of course she
Kathleen
doesn't judge
Turner.
Him. She accepts him because she's a degenerate herself, and she has a degenerate paraplegic husband who is completely okay with her sleeping with her assistants and people. Which is very hilarious because, you know, she acts like a man, but, you know, you can't judge her because, of course, she's a woman, right? She's a milfy nymphomaniac.
And she always has these cheesy pickup lines like, "I'm Sue Cullini, and I always get the weenie."
Yeah, I know. She has a lot of those, though. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, there's this one scene where I think she's being massaged by an Asian guy or something, but the Asian guy won't, like, do anything sexual with her. And Charlie Runkle comes in, and he's like, that's what happens when Buddhists commandeer a profession rightfully reserved for Swedes.
Huh.
I think she's getting, like, a massage or something.
Is that season three? I don't think I got that.
That is season three.
Tell me about how,
she's getting a Swedish massage, and the Asian man won't have anything to do with it.
Or there's the part where she has the deviated septum, and she's like, "I can't do this cocaine, so you got to blow it up my ass."
Yeah, I know. She has a lot of one-liners. Probably my favorite Zuccolini scene is the scene where Rick Springfield is, banging Charlie Runkle's wife, and Zuccolini is nice enough to come in and pretend that Charlie is his great stud,
so
to make his wife jealous.
That's basically exactly where I am in my rewatching it right now.
It's hilarious.
Yeah,
I mean, I haven't seen this in years, but it is very funny. I'm thinking in terms of what it's like to be a writer. Hank Moody goes through a lot of periods where he doesn't write at all. So he often introduces himself in a way that I think, like, if I said it, it would sound really pathetic. Like, "Hello, I'm a writer, non-practicing." even though he's supposedly written this great book, right?
Yeah, and he just kind of pulls it off for the sake of the show.
Right. And then I think he writes another book later on that they want to turn into another movie with another actress. But it takes him, like, forever to write a book. I don't know. He sleeps with so many people throughout the show. It's almost like the show doesn't really have a beginning, middle, end, but it does have, like, constant hills, and every hill is basically, like, a new love triangle for him, which is complicated. Like, as I rewatch season one and two here, they're basically every single sexual fetish is thrown into the show. Like, I can't think of something that's not in there. Not in there in some sense. Like, he even has, I think, Rick Springfield, I don't know, threatened to poop on somebody at one point.
Everything
is in here. Every possible thing that could offend is in this TV show. Like, the only thing I can't think of would be, like, extreme femdom stuff. But, like, even Sue Kalini kind of does that. Even, like, the assistant kind of does that. It's very, very funny.
It's basically softcore porn.
It is. I mean, like, I don't know if I've seen, other than Mia, I don't know if I've seen any of these other actresses and other things. I mean, I've seen Hank Moody's wife. She plays in a Canadian show called Designated Survivor. She plays a lot of wife characters.
Where else have you seen Mia? Are you talking about Twin Peaks? Oh, she was in...
I haven't... The only place I really recognize her is Californication. I don't know if she plays in other small movies that I've seen. She may have.
Oh, she was in that kind of cheesy film, The Cinderella Story, as the evil stepsister, where she plays like a really geeky character.
That would make sense. And like, then, I can picture that.
Yeah, then she was a child actress in the Nanny with Fran Drescher in the back in the 90s.
It's interesting. I mean, like, I don't know if I, like, it's technically statutory rape, right? She keeps going back to that, but she doesn't look beneath the age of consent. She looks a lot older than her character.
She was 21 when it was filmed.
Yeah. I definitely prefer the kind of the MILFy characters that come in, like the dean's wife is probably, other than Sue Kalini, I found the dean's wife very appealing in a kind of a comical way, or maybe just because I found the dean to be such a cuck.
Oh yeah.
He there's this one scene that I thought was hilarious where people ask him, well, what are you going to do about Hank sleeping with your wife? And his response is, I think I'm going to call for a family meeting. Which is such a Jeb Bush response, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna challenge Hank to a duel and we're gonna end this show now. It's just ridiculous.
Yet the character is portrayed as such an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny how, you know, you have this asshole teacher, but like he turns out to be a cuck. It's funny. There are other scenes in there a lot like that. I think like. Whoever's writing this basically replaces a lot of the character types. Like, I think later on in the season, Charlie Runkle meets up with another big producer who's a lot like the dean in the sense that he is always cheating on his wife, but he's also getting cheated on at the same time. I forget his name. I'm drawing a blank, but he's also bald, a lot like Charlie Runkle.
Was this in a later season?
Yeah. It's like in season 5 or 6, I think. And of course, they also have a lot of botched vasectomies. That's another running joke. Like every time they have a vasectomy,
yeah.
of course it's going to be a botched vasectomy. Both in Charlie's case, both in a lot of these later guys' case, and of course Hank's case. It's always a botched vasectomy that they have to redo. There are a lot of like almost repeat jokes in different situations. Like I found the last season to be the least impressive, the one with Heather Graham, just because.
Oh, with the son, I remember that.
The son didn't appeal to me at all. I guess the son was meant to be some kind of like typical fat, spoiled kid, but it just wasn't funny anymore.
Yeah, I think it was a different actor, but he kind of reminds me of Jonah Hill.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly Jonah Hill, but it just lost its humor after like season 5, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to remember because I'm still in season 3, and when I watched it in its entirety, it was quite some time ago. But I do remember that season with Heather Graham and the son. I think the very end was the one where they were making that show. It was like some TV show, like Santa Monica Cop, and Hank was hired to be the screenwriter for that.
Yeah, Samurai Apocalypse.
Oh, that's right.
The black guy who's making this show. And, of course, Hank is going to ruin the show by sleeping with the love interest, which is another repeat where he just kind of ruins really his gig. Like one rule is like you don't want to sleep with the producer's love interest. You don't want to ruin your job, whether it's an actor or a writer, by doing that sort of thing. But he always manages to do it.
You were saying that Hank reminds you a lot of the major male feminists who've been in the news lately, who've been accused of sexual harassment.
Well, I think he does that. Like in different parts of season three. I think Hank even says, "Hello, I'm a sex-positive feminist," but has the sex-positive feminism gone too far? And then he turns to like this Ezra Pound character, almost kind of like to mock him.
Oh yeah.
I think he's definitely someone who likes to play a kind of a sex-positive character, which makes him basically a male feminist in some sense. Right, like he's the sort of person who will give you a lecture on rape culture, but will head down to the strip club at the same time, where lots of damaged nutcases generally strip. aside from the one girl who he's seeing, who definitely is not damaged, supposedly. It definitely reminds me of a lot of male feminist types. His whole character. In some sense, I think like a real guy like that would be completely delusional and wouldn't be nearly as successful either with women or even in real life. At least that's my opinion. I don't think a Hank Moody character, unless he's really at the top, could ever behave like he couldn't get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, even it's difficult for A-list celebrities, but the Hank Moody character is portrayed as kind of a minor, like a pretty fairly minor celebrity. Like he wrote a book a while back.
I think he said something like you're no Faulkner,
and then he says and you're no Brett Ratner to
Exactly, yeah. In other places they're like you're not exactly Hemingway is also an insult thrown at him. Almost as if his book isn't that good.
And in some ways, ironically, Charlie's more sexually obsessed than Hank is.
Yeah, and the women, I think Charlie sleeps with more women, but the quality is definitely down, and they aren't that into him. For example, I think in season, I forget if it's season 2 or season 3, but I think there's a scene where some woman who Hank slept with, who Hank doesn't remember, wants to have a threesome with him, or just wants to sleep with him, but Charlie really likes her, so they have a threesome, and she squirts all over the place.
Oh, the boxer.
the boxer.
That was the most, that was probably one of the most obscene scenes. So the one where she's having sex. I think she's having. Is she having sex with Hank? And then Charlie is eating her out, and then it's some bizarre orgy.
Yeah, it's meant to be a bizarre orgy, but
Runkle's wife walks in on the whole thing. I think it's Karen.
I think they both walk in at the same time, and they're basically both disgusted.
And
so
then,
he sets a very bad example for his daughter, and of course, I don't think any normal woman would even talk to him after that.
And then so Charlie him and his wife, they go back and forth between the kind of open relationship, kind of having an open marriage. And then there's sort of that conflict between that and then what is cheating and what's not, because they don't really have clearly defined boundaries.
No. What I do think is also funny, not to get away too much from Sue Kalini, but I think in a later season...
Sue Kalini.
There is a replacement character for Sue Kalini, only this isn't a sex-positive version of Sue Kalini. This is like an anti-sex Sue Kalini. And she runs around basically trying to put all men in these cock cages. And she does this to Charlie Runkle, which I thought was very hilarious. It's almost like you start off with a lot of these pro-sex, sex-obsessed feminists, and then as the season progresses, they eventually meet their real enemy, who are the anti-sex feminists who are going to put them all into chest V-belts.
Yeah, I didn't get that far.
I think this one was even more explicitly Jewish later on in season 6. Sue Kalini is interesting because a lot of her work, she's a sexual harasser all through her work, but she isn't seen the same way as Charlie Runkle is, and in a way I think she covers for him. Like, she's the reason why he can even become an agent again.
Yeah, because his career, I think he was became a car dealer.
Yeah, he was blacklisted for a whole season, I think. And then he finally got his job back. Well, kind of. And even while he was blacklisted, I don't think he was doing that well as a car salesman.
I just can't really get over that character. She's by far the funniest of the side characters, Sue Kalini.
And I forget what happened to her in season three. I think there was some breakup with Charlie Runkle, because I think he failed to keep Rink Springfield on their roster, because of course Rick Springfield is doing his life.
Oh, right around then.
And then, of course, so Sue Kalini has to let him go, which is kind of sad, because she's the best thing that's happened to him in a while.
And isn't her house is kind of a vaporwave thing going on? Like, she has a Roman, she has a sex dungeon, but then you see this Roman statue with a triangle behind it.
Oh, wow. I actually have to rewatch this now. I didn't notice that.
It's just a very stereotypical, like, 80s mansion you would find in, like, Beverly Hills.
Okay. I also think it's interesting that Hank's wife is like, a home decorator.
Architect.
Well, yeah. She is an architect. But she also is hired by some of Hank's other employers,
including the producer of the film that ruined his book.
Yes, she's always redoing all their homes. I don't know, maybe there's something there, something we can tie into the vaporwave architecture. The good wife, I think she's even she's even mentioned to be like Presbyterian, like she's uptight. But of course, her husband is the exact opposite. And of course, they're not really married either.
Yeah, they've never been married, and
they're not married, but they act like they're married.
What do you think about the relationship between Hank and his daughter, Becca?
I think normally that would be a very cold relationship after a while. I mean, it starts off as being very sweet, and like she seems to adore him, but more and more, she becomes kind of gothy, and there's much more distance between him and her as the show progresses. I don't know if it, that kind of breaks the surrealistic sex atmosphere of the show, because that is what would happen normally.
And then she becomes friends with the daughter of the professor.
Right, right. And of course, Hank has all these little lesbian japs about them, but that never pans out either. And I think they actually end up fighting with the professor's daughter.
Well, there is overall this surreal quality to the show.
Yeah, I'd say so. Like he moves back and forth from, I think, the West Coast. He's always talking about going back to the East Coast throughout the show.
And he has a kind of love-hate relationship with L.A.
Yeah, like he hates being there, but of course he's making all his money and contacts there, even if it's like with people who in real life would probably want to kill him after a while.
And then he has a number of different projects. I think we did touch on this briefly, but what do you think about the whole concept of his book being stolen by Mia and turned into that, I think it's called Fucking and Punching?
Yeah, Fucking and Punching. The thing that really that I liked about that episode was just the fact that no matter how much she changed it around, and no matter, you know, how many people were behind her as like this budding female empowerment author, Charlie Runkle could still tell it was Hank's book. Like, there's a scene at the end of one of those episodes where he basically knocks on Hank's door and says, "I loved your new novel." And he just knows it's Hank, right? He says something like, "You're all over it, pal. I could tell from the first page."
And that's what happens at the end of season 3, is Mia's manager isn't able to get her to write more because she's not able to write anything else in that style. And that's basically what exposes her, but it brings about the whole fiasco with Hank and the whole trial.
Right, because she can't fake it. She hasn't got the skill to even fake being Hank Moody after that point. She's rummaging through his stuff trying to get little pieces of Hank, but when she tries to do it on her own, she just can't. And it kind of forces her almost to bring down Hank.
What do you think about the original scene in the bookstore when she seduces him?
Oh yeah, he's basically walking to the bookstore, looking at all the books in the shelves, and she comes up to him and says something like, "What kind of loser sits in a bookstore reading his own work?" It's almost like she pretends not to know him until, of course, she has to admit she does know him. I can't really imagine someone being crazy enough to do that. Like,
and every single,
it's almost like
every single comment she says, it's some setup for a game.
Yeah, like she's setting him up to have sex with her, and she's setting him up to possibly be embarrassed in front of her father. It's kind of like she has a plan. Like, she really is a psycho. But at the same time, you don't really know where that plan is going to go until, of course, everything comes crashing down and
what do you think
they know what happened.
What do you think about her father, Bill, who's going to marry Karen?
Well, he has this, like, really annoying monotone voice, and I think he's portrayed as, like, the one guy who wants to be a family man, but he's also, like, really elitist, and he's very snobby, but in a kind of a bug man type way. Bug man is, like, a new internet term for people who are very normy but are really into, like, corporate culture. And of course, he has a lot of this modern art on his wall that is worth, like, millions. And of course, Hank has to throw up all over it.
Oh yeah, I remember that scene.
I don't know if that's kind of a subtle attack at modern art. Like, it's worth millions, but I'm gonna throw up all over it in a fit of not disgust, but I don't know, maybe. And maybe there's kind of a metaphysical disgust involved in throwing up all over his art.
Did you ever?
And of course, he replaces it.
Oh, he does replace it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how the art world works, because a lot of times people buy paintings, not so much because of the painting, the quality of the painting, but because there's some artist becomes an instant celebrity, so it's like everyone has to buy that painting.
Yeah. There's of course another douchebag who has the same painting.
That's the one he steals. That was the husband of Med Chinamic from Twin Peaks, and that was the love interest of Lou Ashby.
Yeah, it's like there are a lot of happy coincidences that work in Hank's favor. Even though he keeps making, like, one huge mistake after another, these happy coincidences kind of give him a way out, kind of a choose-your-own-adventure scenario, where he has a way out given to him. He just has to ride it along until, you know, the next moment where he fucks up and has to admit he fucks up. I thought it was a good roller coaster ride, the show. It definitely kept you watching.
Especially the first three seasons. I think the show does decline towards the later seasons.
Yeah. I don't know if I would necessarily call the show completely nihilistic, but I think, like, other people on, like, the far right have watched the show, and they've commented on it on their YouTube channels. Like, Davis Arini has famously criticized the show, and he's... Of course, he's criticized the show as being, you know, this lauding degeneracy. However, there are also scenes in the show where you can interpret a kind of inner guilt to Hank Moody. I think there's this one scene where he's in a pool, and all the women he slept with are dead, and they're all floating by him. I forget what season that's in, but it's almost like they are showing another side, a side of his behavior that is very damaging to other people.
So that Arini video is just him. Did he have anything insightful to say, or was it just a ranting about the show being degenerate?
He did. Like he said some insightful things. He usually does. He mentioned Californication as like an example of kind of the modern age. I've come across other right-wing commentators who have also watched the show. So it's not like it's only mainstream people who watch this. Lots of people watch this.
It's an older show, but I still think it's definitely, I wouldn't say it's dated. I think it's timely with a lot of the stuff going on now.
Yeah, it's more timely than a lot of more modern shows that people are always quoting from, especially because it has to deal with Hollywood directly. It has to deal with California directly. Let's say other shows like involving Walter White, that's kind of like a rebellion fantasy almost. From, like, more middle America, wow, this show is kind of like a relishing in elitist behavior that only they can get away with. So it is much more timely.
Let's see, I'm looking over. Did we cover everything? Is there
a... Well, I know I wanted to talk about Sue Kalini. We mentioned how he's kind of like a Harvey Weinstein type character, or Charlie Runkle is kind of like a Harvey Weinstein character, and Hank is kind of more like he would see himself or want to see himself. I think Charlie Runkle and Hank Moody are kind of the same guy. It's just Runkle is the beta and Hank is the alpha version. But they're pretty much the same guy, or two halves of the same guy.
Yeah, but Runkle's sexually obsessed, but he's also likable. I see someone like Weinstein as a much more nefarious figure.
Kind of like kind of almost like Atticus Finch in the one of the last seasons.
Yeah, I didn't get to the last season.
The rock star who runs like a pussy airline, where he's constantly getting all his he basically forces all his airline pilot pisses to blow him while he's watching genocide in Africa on the TV screen.
That makes sense.
So it's very flippant. Like, he doesn't really care about anybody, but as long as he can get a blowjob while criticizing some genocide in Africa, he's happy.
And the thing is, these writers, they're active in Hollywood, so they're sort of documenting what's going on, and they're aware of it, and that's what's really interesting to what's going on right now, because people are looking at it. It's kind of like the whole, all these jokes, like Seth MacFarlane made that joke about Harvey Weinstein, and people are looking at it from an outsider perspective, and there's all this shock about it, but pretty much this show pretty much puts it all out there, and I think a lot of these newscasters who are so horrified, they're kind of feigning outrage.
Yeah, like, they know about it. One thing that I would say is kind of interesting, for example, like, I read recently about how the son of Mia Farrow, Ronan Farrow, he was instrumental in breaking the story, the Weinstein story. And in one of his interviews, he suggested that powerful people shouldn't be able to buy silence. And that just got me to thinking, well, for all these years, this has been going on. Is it really likely that in the next 50 years the powerful won't be able to buy silence on harassment lawsuits? I don't think that's ever going to change. The only thing that's changed is somebody messed up somewhere, and so people started all blabbing one after the other. And I guess the moral high that they got from talking ended up being worth more money to them than what they were paid to shut up about it for, like, the past 50 years.
What do you think about that recent comment by Morrissey, where he got a lot of flack for saying that the only people complaining are the people who have failed in their careers and they're not getting roles, and the people who were successful at trading sexual favors for roles are not speaking out?
I think that's interesting, because the people who were getting sexual favors for roles were the last people to complain. Like, for example, what's the name of that famous British woman who recently came out against Weinstein? I think she was in a very recent 2017. Movie Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. I'm trying to think of her name. I think it's like De La Bean or something like that. I think she actually has aristocratic blood. I'm trying to think of her, like Kira Delevingne or something like that. She recently came out against Weinstein, but she wasn't the first person to do that. So something tells me that she's been relatively successful, as much as can be. While the first people to come out against Weinstein were kind of the older women, the women who had their big roles like decades ago and now are kind of getting on, and they're not getting the roles anymore because they're a lot older.
I think Ashley Judd was the first major actress to speak out, and I don't.
Yeah,
think
and
she's
I only
been,
know Ashley iron, well, Judd from like Star Trek.
Yeah, ironically, she was in the recent Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're not making as much money as I guess they hoped they would. And they're following a similar pattern that a lot of actresses complain about. Like, as they get into old age, they are less, I guess, they have less market value. Whether it's Ashley Judd or Rose McGowan. Like, these were beautiful women when they were young. And I still think Rose McGowan is a beautiful woman. But I guess the fear that they... that their time is over and younger women are taking their place is what perhaps gave them some private motivation to speak out.
Well, I mean, Kathleen Turner, who plays Sue Kalini, she was a big kind of sex icon back in the 80s.
Yeah, and well, I think there's something different about her. Like, she was in that Michael Douglas movie that I really loved, The War of the Roses. And she played the wife, and you know, she was hilarious, but she was also, you know, she's also a very beautiful older woman. But I still think in general the way the Hollywood system works, the younger women have more market value.
And Hollywood kind of functions as in a bubble, so there's different standards than there are for the rest of society.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, the casting couch isn't a new thing. It's always going to be there. It's been there for a long, long time.
Isn't that pretty much, that's like common knowledge? Even like your basic normie is aware of that?
I think they are aware of it if they don't have like a college education and they haven't been like brainwashed to the point where they can't think logically anymore. But even at that point, I think they know. I mean, I've talked to actresses who are pissed off in my personal life because they could never get any roles, not because they weren't attractive, but because they were too tall for the men. Like in Hollywood, the men tend to be, you know, kind of like me, like 5'8", 5'9", very short. And so they want to pair them off with women about the same size. But if you're like a tall model, 6 foot or so, and if you aren't like spectacularly beautiful, it's very hard for them to cast you as anything. So women will also complain about that. So they will feel even more so that it's an old boys club because they aren't put on the same level as, let's say, men who might not have to be held to the same sexy standard. I'm thinking of that other Harvey Weinstein skit with the little guy from Friends, who he's not really a very attractive man, but I think he is considered a leading man. I'm trying to think of his name now, but it escapes me.
Are you talking about an actor from Friends?
Yeah, the actor, one of the smaller actors from Friends. He tends to be in a lot of comedies and a lot of Weinstein movies as well, and I don't think anybody's attacked him. So it's almost like he's flown under the radar for a long time.
Well, back to Californication, I think it's a unique show because you have these shows like Entourage, which is about Hollywood and basically like hedonism. But I watched a few episodes of Entourage, but it never really appealed to me. There is like a unique quality to Californication that stands out that these other shows like Entourage failed to do.
Yeah, I haven't seen Entourage. I've seen shows like 90210, just because like a lot of teens watch those. It definitely has a kind of up and down quality to it. Like it's got all the scenarios of a porn story, but it actually has a story. So I think that's kind of like what makes Californication kind of like, it's kind of like McDonald's. You want to keep eating it, but it doesn't have like the substance of Twin Peaks.
No, it's not. I mean, I'd say it's worth watching, but it's not of the same. It's not in the same caliber as Twin Peaks. I can say that for sure.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that David Duchovny can play this role so well. I don't know if it has anything to do with his personal life, but it just seems like it's a real different character from, let's say, what he played in The X-Files or other shows like that.
Yeah, I think he did go into a rehab for sex addiction.
So maybe it's even a personal thing. I mean, like, throughout Californication, there are like a dozen or so jokes about going into rehab. It's almost like they don't really take it seriously. In fact, I think Hank Moody even had sex with someone in rehab. So it's like, you can go to rehab, but it's not going to change anything.
We're getting close to the end of the show. Before I wrap things up, is there anything else you'd like to add about Californication?
Not really. I think it's interesting that California's kind of got this association with the movie business for such a long time. And there are other places on the planet that are always trying to compete with them, whether it's Bollywood or if it's China now. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how things change as a result of the sex scandal. I don't think it's going to change very much. But, I've been reading articles about Time Warner and other companies that want to merge almost to secure their power. It seems to be slipping in different ways, but we'll see. I definitely enjoyed Californication when I saw it, just because I thought it was very funny. As far as kind of the implications now, I never could have predicted that.
We're at the end of the show. I'd like to thank Count Fosco for being on. It's been an excellent show.
Sure thing, Robert. It's interesting to chat about these things.